and find your place there in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice in the mercy of God. We ought to reflect on the mercy of God, and we ought to respect the mercy of God. Amen. God's been good to us and been so kind, and I certainly want to thank Him and give Him the glory. We started last Sunday morning a series of messages concerning some of the characters around the Christmas story. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the salvation of the shepherds, and my, what great truths we learned there about how God brings a sinner to Himself and saves them. On last Sunday night, we dealt with the joy of John, considering John the Baptist when he leaped in his mother's womb, and how he had joy, and how God has promised us that we as the people of God, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I believe, if I remember the outline, if you're going to have joy, you got to, recognize His presence. You got to remember His purpose, and then receive His person, something like that. Amen. If you don't remember it, I don't remember it. Amen. But in other words, we have to really see Jesus for who He is if we're going to have joy. Joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is not based on how much money you have in your pocket. Joy is based in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to look at another set of characters this morning here in Matthew chapter 2. If you're willing and physically able to do so, if you'll join us by standing. And by standing, of course, we're going to honor and reverence the Word of God today. Thank you for being here, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of worship and praise we felt in our hearts today. And I thank you, Lord, for your kindness to us. Lord, I pray for the next little while, Lord, that you would cleanse me of sin. You'd empty me of self. Fill us with thy spirit. Lord, I pray you help us to preach to the dying man, the dying people. Touch our voice and body. I pray you'd preach the message that you would have for us today. I pray, Lord, that you would touch my stammering tongue. Lord, I pray use us today. Get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I mentioned to you we've been looking at some of these characters. We got a few more, the Lord willing, that we'll look at before we get to Christmas Eve, where we'll deal with the gift of God. I would like to take a couple of Wednesday nights and deal with Mary and Joseph, respectively, and look at their character and look at a background of them. We could look at the adoration of Anna, the seizing of Simeon, the announcement of the angel. We may look at that next Sunday when the angel come and announce that Jesus was coming. But today we have been introduced to these wise men. We know these wise men. One writer said, or one fellow said, that the wise men were firemen because they came from afar. You'll get that after a while, amen. And one fellow said, I got a lot in the mood. One fellow said they walked in there and they brought gold and frankincense and said, "But wait, there's myrrh." Amen. So some of you are waiting now, but there's a couple of misconstrusions about these wise men. First of all, one of them is that there were three of them. The Bible never says there were three wise men, just that they brought three gifts. There could have been three of them. We know there were at least two because they use it. That word men gives the idea of plural, so we know there was at least two, but there could have been two, or there could have been 20. But then the other misconstrusion, and we can't help it because Christmas plays, you can't have a two-year Christmas play in 45 minutes. Somebody say amen. But the wise men did not come to the shepherd's fold when Jesus was born. They came when Jesus was about 2 years old. If you read the scriptures and you compare scripture with scripture, I believe that night when Jesus was born, they saw the star. But for the next 2 years, they searched for Christ and they found him, because the Bible tells us that they do not call Jesus a child, a babe in the text. They call him a child. And in the text, it is not a stable they come into, but the Bible says when they came into the house. And so there's a couple of little misconstrusions with it. But I want to look at these wise men today. And the Bible tells us that these wise men came, and they came for one purpose. They came to worship the Lord. They came to worship Him. That word worship gives the idea. It comes from two words, the word worth and the worship. In other words, you're telling God how much He is worth to you. That word worship gives the idea of a dog coming up and licking his master's hand and loving on him and coming in a spirit of humility. That's what real worship is. Our modern day churches, I've said it often, have that backwards. They offer praise and worship services, and that is not the way God meant it for it to be. You see, praise is an outward expression, but worship is an inward expression. But let me say this, when you worship God long enough in your heart, it will break out in an outward expression after a while. Amen. You see, worship has to deal with the heart, if you will, for sake of alliteration. Praise has to do with the hands, or hollering, if you would. Amen. And so I believe we are commanded to praise, and we are commanded to worship God. You know, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you look there at John chapter 4, verse 24, you notice that where it says God is a spirit, that's capital S. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, that's lowercase s, and in truth. In other words, I've got to get my spirit in line with the spirit if I'm going to truly worship God. Somebody said, preacher, what is the truth there in that verse? Well, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I deduce this. If it's real worship, it'll line up with the spirit of God, and it'll line up with the word of God. It'll never contradict those two things. Somebody say amen right there. And so these people are running around on TV, and even down in China, there's a guy down in China Grove last year, he was selling prayer calls and healing calls and acting charismatic. That's not what God's talking about. Now, you're looking at a preacher, I believe in praise and worship. I'm liable to jump on a pew. I'm liable to run around the building. I'm liable to stand on the pulpit. I believe in that. But all of that will line up with the Word of God. That's why we don't speak in tongues. It don't line up with the Word of God. That's why we don't handle snakes, because we got sense. Somebody say amen right there. It doesn't line up with our dispensation, and I say thank God for that. The only way to handle a snake is with a shotgun. Somebody say amen right there. And so we understand that worship will always line up with the Word of God. Can I say this? God deserves our worship. He's been so good to us. He's been so gracious. God demands our worship. And then God delights in worship. It's interesting to note, if you use the principle first mentioned, the first time the word worship is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 22, when Abraham has taken Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him. But it's very interesting to note, preachers, that the first time the word worship is used in the New Testament, it's here in our text in Matthew chapter number 2. Now here's what I like about it. There's a lot of argument on who these wise men were. And here's what I believe. Some commentators will agree that they were Gentiles, because they came from the Far East. They believe they were Persians. So here's what I like about it. In the New Testament, on the side of grace, the first people you see worshiping God are a bunch of old Gentile dogs. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm glad for that. God deserves, God demands, and God delights in our worship. I want to look at their worship today and say about four things about it. I dealt with this about 2 years ago. I don't like re-preaching messages, so I went through and tried to rework it the best I can. But I believe if we are going to understand how to worship Christ, how many times we come to church and we just come and sit on a pew and go through the motions and we really don't worship Him. There's a lot of churches in this town, even some Sundays in this church, where people could sue us for false advertisement. Because we put out on our sign, 11 a.m., worship service. And we come in here with everything else on our mind, except worshiping Him. Amen. I gave you a chance to shout it out, and you didn't take it, so we're just going to have to preach. Amen. I want to say four things about their worship. First of all, I see in verse number 2, the desire in their worship. The desire in their worship. Worship comes from a grateful heart to a God that is holy. That's what real worship is. I noticed 3 or 4 things about their worship. First of all, in verse number 2, I noticed their worship was to the divine. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, saying, where is he that is born king? Now look at that word king. That is a capital K. And then if you look down in verse 3, when Herod the king, that's a lowercase K. You see, they weren't talking about no earthly king. They wasn't talking about no king that had been set up just because he happened to be in the right family. But they was talking about the king. Where is he that is born? The King of the Jews. Somebody said in Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? The Lord in battle. The Lord is mighty is His name. I'm glad this morning that we know who the King is.
In fact, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This capital K in this word king means it gives extreme importance of deity. They were not going just to worship anyone. They wasn't going to worship Mary and Joseph. They wasn't going to worship anybody else there at that house, but they had one person in mind, and that was the King of Glory. Can I say this here today? You better not come to worship this building. You better not have come to worship this church. You better not have come, God help you, to worship this preacher or anybody else here, but your one focal point, your one reason for being in this building today ought to be worshiping the King of Glory, who loved you and saved you and changed your life by the grace of God. I'm not worthy of worship. You're not worthy of worship. This building, as beautiful as it is with the decoration and the nice facilities we have, it's not worthy of worship. Oh, but there is one among us who is worthy, and his name is Jesus. He is the King of Glory. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sits higher than anybody else. He is holier than anybody else. He offers more help than anybody else. Somebody said, preacher, I'm just not worthy to worship the Lord. I'm just not worthy to praise him. I got news for you, Bubba. We're not here today because you're worthy. We're here because he's worthy, because that is what it's all about. Their worship was to the divine. This word king means he's royal. Means he has royal blood. He's ruling and he's reigning. Amen. Their worship was to the divine. But secondly, their worship was determined. Look in our verse. And are come to worship him. They come with the right reason. Their determination was to worship. Can I ask you today, why did you come today? Did you come today to watch or to worship? Did you come today to spectate or to participate? Did you come today to criticize or to celebrate? Amen. Why'd you come today? I hope the reason you came was, and I enjoyed the fellowship, I enjoyed the good singing, but I hope the reason you came today was not because of a song, not because of a sermon, not because of a brother or sister in Christ, or not because you was afraid the preacher was going to call you and ask where you was at today, but I hope the reason that you came was because you wanted to worship the Lord and give him the honor and the praise that he deserves. It was determined worship. It was worship to the divine. Number three, their worship was diligent. Think about this. They said, for we have seen his star in the east. Now, as I read last night, Mr. John Butler agreed with my way of thinking, or I agree with him one way or the other. He said that he believes that star appeared the night Jesus was born, and I believe that. And those wise men saw it from afar. And they begin that night. They had been studying the prophecies, no doubt, of the Old Testament. And they began that night to travel and to find where Jesus was. Now, we don't know how long it took him, but we know that Jesus was not over 2 years old, so he's around that year to 2 years old. So here's my point. They didn't give up and quit when they didn't get it right the first time. They were diligent. And let me put it in our lingo. They went to church, and it was dead as a hammer, but they went back the next service. They didn't get nothing out of the sermon that service, but they went back the next service. That song wasn't exactly what they was wanting, but they went back the next service. I'm telling you, they didn't go and find them another star when they didn't like what was going on. Amen. That just come to me in front of you, God, Laura Lee, Hobbs, and Gomer. Somebody say, and they saw that star, and they stayed faithful to it because they knew that wherever that star was leading them was where Jesus would be. Now if somebody gets our parking spot, somebody sits down in our pew, Somebody doesn't shake our hand, or somebody don't look at us, we think the right way, they might be cross-eyed. Don't worry about it, man. I'm just telling you, we ought to have diligence in our worship. We ought to have excitement in our worship because we come for him. Amen. Their worship was to the divine. It was determined. It was diligent. I like this one. Their worship was directed and are come to worship him. Notice, they were not worshiping him because of what he had done. They said, we're going to worship him. Can I say this? Don't worship God because of what he does. Worship God because who he is. Circumstances change. Statuses change. Things change. But Christ never changes. God never. You and I, we change, but he never changes. In fact, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. Somebody said, a preacher, well, Jesus hadn't done nothing yet. Well, technically he had. What had he done? He had come.
And they said, boy, he's come, so the least we can do is go worship him. Can I say this? If there's no other reason, we ought to worship him because of who he is, but we ought to worship him because he came. He could have stayed up in heaven and let us all die and go to hell in our sins, and he still would have been God. But I'm so glad Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery equal of God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself to the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. If God never done anything else, if he never answered another prayer, if he never met another need, just the fact that he loved the portals of glory, come down to the world that was glory and saved me by his grace so I could go to glory. Amen. That's exactly right. The desire in their worship. Number two, there are the deterrents in their worship. Or the detours, the deterrents in their worship. In verse number 3, we are introduced to King Herod. If you was in my Sunday school class last week, you understand we looked at the 6 different Herods in the Bible. And you'll recall from our study that this Herod here is known as Herod the Great. Now, he wasn't Herod the Great because it was like Kellogg's, they're great. That word great, in other words, meant that he was a horrible, horrible man. Had 9 wives. He was known to even kill people if they got in his way of his status. Mr. John Butler said he was vicious and lustful, married 9 times. And in his quest for absolute power, he did not hesitate to kill members of his own family. He killed a wife and some sons just so he could stay king. Wicked man. Wicked man. And I believe Herod in these verses represents the things that are trying to hinder our worship. Here's the first thing. He represents those that are disturbed by worship. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard all these things, he was troubled. He heard that them wise men wanted to go worship Jesus, and it troubled him. That word trouble is where we get our word irritate. Bothered. Can I say this? There are still people in church, they get bothered when you worship. Why they got to be so loud? Why they got to jump up and down and holler? Why does that preacher got to scream and sweat and holler and run around and act like a fool while he preaches? Why do them people got to go to the altar and cry and hug all over one another? And why do they, and they're disturbed by it? Can I say this? I said it last week. I want to drive home. I wouldn't go to a church where you couldn't praise God. I wouldn't put up with it. They're thrice dead and plucked up by the roots. I wouldn't go to a church where they made fun of people that praise God and worship God. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I'm telling you, if anybody ought to be promoting praise to God, it ought to be the preachers in the pulpit. It ought to be the singers in the choir promoting praise. We ought not to be disturbed by it. I like one fellow said, I don't care how high you jump or how fast you run, as long as you speak in English, we'll go with it. Amen. Had a friend of mine was in a meeting. I don't know if I take it this far unless God just got on me. But the dean was in a meeting one time, and a fellow got to shouting. And Brother Dean said, I heard behind me, whoom, 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 whoom. And I looked, and he said, a fellow was walking down the aisle going, hallelujah, and had a weed over his head. It was an all-day camp meeting. He was outside cutting grass. And he was listening in to the service and got blessed. And he just walked down the aisle with a weed or a... Hey, God bless you. We can understand what he was saying. I'm just saying, if you got to get a weed eater or just raise your hand and praise God, you ought to just praise him. Don't be disturbed by it. Now, if you do have a weed eater, bring it to church. Please make sure there ain't no string on it. Somebody gets their head cut off, all right? What's funny is there's a guy with him that got to shout, and he's planting a tree in the ground. And he brought the tree in behind him. Only in a Baptist meeting though that happened. Amen. I'm just telling you, we was down at the Redfield camp meeting back in July, and I'm telling you, you want to shout, go down there. They just pull the shout out of you, amen. We was down there, and man, I'm telling you, there's 1,500 people easy there, and there's a shouting and a running all over the place, and I was embarrassed, but I was watching Brother Richie, and he had never ran, I could tell, in church. And I could tell, they get lines down there, and they just go. You got to watch where you're going. You go to the bathroom, you better look both ways twice. And I remember I was watching him, and finally it hit me. I said, Lord, if you'll hit me the right way, I'll go get him. And I did. And we about ran Sammy Allen and Milton Taylor right over, amen. But I'm just telling you, and people say, well, I just don't know all about that. Well, I'm telling you, you wouldn't mind if your son or your daughter was shouting over a football game or over getting a scholarship to college or getting a good job or getting a raise at work. How much more should we enjoy that we're saved by the grace of God, that we know our names have been written down, that we can't go to hell, that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and that we have the Word of God. Amen. So serve as an anointing, serve as a warning. If I see you and I think you need to run, I'm liable to come get you. Yeah. Amen. Be careful saying, come on, I'll come get you now. Here's when I took off running preaching Wednesday night. I like it, amen. I believe there'll be some excitement in the house of God. But there's always going to be that people that's like, well, I just don't know all about that. Yeah, I bet you was one of them crazy Black Friday shoppers too. Throwing elbows and swinging and fighting. Come on now, you grandmas. I know all about it. Amen. I remember years ago, them women getting locked up over a Tickle Me Elmo. Y'all remember them? Or them Beanie Babies. I'm talking about fighting. Man, them Baltimore rides ain't seen nothing when you get two grandmas wanting a Beanie Baby. Amen. And so they are he represents those that are disturbed by worship. He also represents those that are trying to divert worship. Notice he is the king. He don't want people worshiping another king. He wants all the glory coming to himself. In other words, he wants to take God's glory and make sure he gets it. Can I tell you this? God's a generous God. He'll share his grace. He'll share his goodness. But he will not share his glory with any man. That's where preachers, it comes to a challenge to us. We'll preach and God will touch us and use us. And we got it. And the best and worst thing you can tell a preacher is, hey, done a good job. That's the best and worst thing. And I tell these preachers, and I tell myself it often, somebody tells you done a good job, you thank them and say, praise the Lord. And can I say singers? Somebody compliments you singing, say thank you and praise the Lord. That's what it's, because God gave you that talent. God gave you that message. Quick as he gave it, he can take it. Amen. That's exactly right. We've got people that want the applause of men instead of giving. That's why somebody said, preach, why is it so hard on clapping in church? Because clapping's got to be about men instead of being about God. We'll clap because we're emotionally moved by a song and thought somebody done good singing. That's all right. Tell them after church, I enjoyed the singing. But don't give that person praise. If you want to clap, make sure you're shouting and giving the praise to God. Amen. Those that try to divert worship. Number three, those that are in the dark about worship. In verse number 4, he gathered all the scribes and the chief priests and the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. He said, where's this Jesus? Where's this Christ supposed to be born? You know, if he just read his Bible, he'd have known. I ain't going to read all the verses for a second time, but in the Old Testament, it clearly teaches, actually, in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, it tells us that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Here's my point. People that don't know anything about worship are people that's not been in their Bible. Preacher, I just don't know all about that worship. I just don't understand it all. I don't understand it all either. But what I do know, I got out of this book. Amen. I don't want to be in the dark about worship. Number 4, he also represents those that are deceptive in their worship. Look what he said in verse 9. I'm running quick. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. When they heard the king, they departed and lo, the star. Verse number 8. And when they sent to Bethlehem, he said, go search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Herod had no intentions of worshiping Jesus. He had no intentions of going with the wise men and worshiping him. He wanted to destroy Jesus. You better watch those people and say, well, I love the church and I come for this reason or that reason. They're being deceptive. Here's what Paul called them. They're a wolf. Those people that are trying to be deceptive in the church. Amen. Then number 5, he represents those that want to destroy worship. I won't take all the time, but verse 13 and 16, he commanded that all the babies under 2 years old be killed in hopes that he might kill Christ. He was wanting to destroy any notion of worship to anybody else. Can I say this? Is that not what the devil tries to do? You know, that's why the devil got kicked out of heaven. Because he tried to divert worship from God to himself. And that goes to pride. Amen. Can I say this? I don't want to be one that is disturbed by worship. I don't want to be one that diverts worship. I don't want to be one that's in the dark about worship. I don't want to be one that's deceptive in my worship. And I certainly don't want to destroy worship. I don't want to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit in a worship service. Amen? You know, there's always somebody, you mean a good service, and somebody's got that testimony that can kill it. Amen. Now, I can't think of anybody in here right now, but I know some other places I go where I go often and preach, I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let them stand up and give a testimony. I'd almost be willing, you know, Lord, take them to heaven now. When they go to stand up, call their name. Call their name. Take them home so they won't kill this meeting. Amen. In fact, when I was at New Grace, we had one guy, he was so bad, I begged my dad to let me buy one of them air assault rifles. And I'd sit in the back. When he'd stand up, I'd just pop him on the back of the head. Sit down. We don't want you killing this thing. Amen. He almost let me do it, but then the guy left. But what I'm saying, I don't know why he left. I mean, we just want to shoot him. But anyway, what I'm saying is, don't be the one that destroys the worship. You realize the Holy Spirit of God is the most sensitive person in the building. He can be so easily grieved and so easily quenched. The desire of their worship, the deterrence of their worship. Can I say this? And I'm hurrying. Notice the display in their worship. We see when they displayed worship, verse number 10, the Bible said they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They had excitement in their worship. They wasn't depressed about it. They wasn't mad that they had to come to church and worship the Lord. They were excited about it. I say this all the time, and this ain't nothing new. I believe the reason people out in the world don't want what we got, because it looks like it's killing us. Hey, I'm not saying there ain't hard times. We all have hard days. We all have difficult days. We all have a bad day. Amen. But I'm telling you, we all at least have a smile and the joy of the Lord. You say, you know what? Things may not be going like I want, but at least I'm not in hell. In fact, I mean, everything could break. Your wash machine, your dryer. I know a little bit about that dryer messing up. I'm telling you, that thing, I'm going to have to lay hands on it. Your Buick might be messed up. Amen. Hey, we're going to have to lay hands on my Buick with a sledgehammer. Wait till if we don't get this thing fixed. And everything might be messed up. Everything might be blowing up. The kitchen sink handle might fall off. The kids might be sick. The car might be broke down. Everything might be messed up. But you say, well, at least I'm not in hell. Amen. God's still good in spite of it all. There was excitement in their worship. Notice the entrance in verse 11. The Bible said in verse number 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and notice this, and fell down and worshiped him. It wasn't like they didn't get up and said, okay, let's start our worship set now. Like they do in them new churches. I watched a video the other day, it's so funny. They said, we're going to start our worship set. I think that's what they're going to have an opening song. It shouldn't be a worship set. Worship's not a set. We're going to start our worship music. I thought Amazing Grace was worship music. It ought to be when we come in and we come with our hearts and we come in. Wouldn't it be good if we just come in the church and come straight to the altar? Because when they come in the house, they saw Jesus. They just went straight and fell down and began to worship. Boy, I wonder what kind of service we'd have if we all, when we come in here, and I'm not against fellowshipping, but when we come in, we wouldn't stand around and talk for 20 minutes. We'd come in here and we'd just get in the altar. We just pray. It may not take 25 verses of Amazing Grace to get us ready to have church. Amen. The entrance, then the expression. The Bible said they opened their treasures. Can I ask you this question? Did you bring Jesus anything today? I like getting Christmas presents. If you don't, send me yours. I get a joy out of opening them. Amen. But with this being Christmas, this is Jesus. I know my technical theologians on YouTube and sermon audio. Well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I know he wasn't born on December 25th. That's just the day we set aside to observe that he came. But he is observing his birth. When's the last time you got Jesus something for his birthday? When's the last time you put a present under the tree for Jesus? I like Brother Hayes said, they have a happy birthday Jesus party. I like that. If we're not careful during this time of year, we'll make it about everything else. Hey, I enjoy the presents. I enjoy the Christmas carols, not Silent Night. I enjoy the festive. I enjoy the food and the fried turkey. Somebody say amen. I enjoy it when there's a present under the tree with my name on it. I'm gonna tell you, if we're not, I enjoy watching Charlie Brown here in Linus quote Luke 2, King James. Amen. Linus is more King James than some Baptist preachers I know. Amen. You watch it. He quotes King James. I like all that, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in all the festivities. and we'll forget about what it's really about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, all three of those, I hope I'm not boring you today. I know I'm preaching a little bit different. That gold was given for a sovereign king. That frankincense was for a serving priest. And that myrrh was for a suffering Savior. And right there in those three gifts, they told everybody, he's the king, he's the priest, he's the Savior of the world. Oliver B. Green said, visits to kings in that days were seldom made without a presentation of gifts. You know, we've come to visit the king today. Did we bring him anything? Amen. Boy, did I bring him anything today. Well, preacher, I tithe. I'm not talking about that. Did you bring him a heart of gratitude? Did you bring him a sacrifice of praise? Did you bring him a testimony? Did you bring him a song? Did you bring him a thankful heart? Amen. Oh, may God help us. Can I say this? You remember when David, I'm almost done. Remember when David made that mistake numbering the people and God sent in that pestilence of 3 days and the angel stopped and stood over the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and David went up there to buy that threshing floor, and Ornan said, look, he said, I'll give it to you. You can have it. I'll give you the instruments. I'll give you the oxen for sacrifice. Here's what David said. He said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. He said, I'm not going to give God something that don't cost me something. Can I say this? If it don't mean something to you, it won't mean something to him. Oh, did we bring him anything today? He came. He loved us. He had compassion. He changed our lives. Did we bring him any gold? Did we honor him as king? Did we bring some frankincense that he is our go-between? He is our mediator. And did we bring him some of that myrrh when we thank him for his sufferings there at Calvary? Number four, and I'm done. The difference because of their worship. Look at verse number 12. I'm done. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. I'll say three things. It changed their perception. The Bible said being warned of God. Worship ought to change you. That word, that phrase, warned of God, gives the idea they had a new revelation from God. Changed their perception. It changed their plans. They didn't return to Herod. Can I say this? When you really worship God, it ought to change the plans you had in your life. And it changed their path. The Bible said they parted into their own country another way. I know it's talking about the way they went home geographically, but I hope when I leave a worship service, I leave a different way. I don't want to leave the same. I want to be different because I've met the Savior, because I've been with Him. The worship of the wise men. Grace, if you'll maybe play something on the piano. I wonder this morning, did we bring the Lord anything for Christmas? Did we bring Him a grateful heart? Did we bring Him a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving? A sacrifice of praise. Brother Brady preached a couple months ago on Sunday night, bringing a sacrifice of praise of God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name. I'm telling you, He's been so good to us. And I'll tell you what He wants for Christmas. He wants worship. You know that's what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to worship Him. I love this. I give you this. I'm done. Herod wanted to stop worship all he could. He wanted to stop it. But I love, if you read Matthew 2, there's a phrase in Matthew 2 I love. But when Herod was dead, Herod died and worship was still going on. And the devil and the world and society is trying to stop worship. But they're all going to die and worship. That's what we're going to do in heaven, is worship Him. I don't want to get to heaven and have to go to worship class. I don't want to go to heaven and have to go to praise 101. I want to be practicing it down here so I'll be familiar with it when I get over there. The worship of the wise men. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. I preached about 35 minutes this morning. I appreciate your attention. These altars are open this morning. You might want to come give the Lord a